Kerry Peck, the elder law attorney, is in our studio now, a regular guest at WGN Radio. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, John, to you and your family and the WGN listeners. I hope everybody has a safe holiday and gets along well with their family.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I was billing this conversation as you're all going to be together. And this isn't one of those do we talk politics or not, but I think a lot of times we will see grandma or grandpa, mom or dad, for the first time in a long while, and we'll start to notice, I'm sorry, some of our elder listeners and their family members have slipped. And then the adult children, that sandwich generation, are like, all right, what are we going to do about that, right?
Well, it's a problem, and as you point out, you know, a lot of times you don't see your family for a period of time, especially if you live at opposite ends of the country. A lot of people are traveling for the holidays, and, you know, the Alzheimer's Association has put out the 10 early signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
Oh, really?
And this is a good opportunity to take a close look at your family. You know, you're not playing doctor. You're trying to protect your family, make sure that they're safe, not harmed, and not taken advantage of financially. There's a lot of financial abuse going on now with older adults, and some of it is related directly to a cognitive disability.
Sure, but who's taking advantage of them? I know you talk about that a lot, but nobody in my family would take advantage of mom or dad. We might, you know, not agree about an expense that mom and dad incurred that one of the siblings recommended, but it's nothing on a large scale. What are you talking about when you talk about that?
I'm talking about people that call up on the telephone and ask older adults for their credit card information, sell them products that don't exist. I'm talking about calling older adults and asking them for their bank account information.
Random. So these are scam calls. These are
scam calls, but today scams come in a lot of different format. Older adults today typically all have cell phones. Yesterday I got a scam, a text scam. Send us your social security number, your address. You want a prize, and we want to send it to you. Well, you know, those are the kinds of things that are happening every day.
I suppose at Thanksgiving, then tell those people. In fact, we had this conversation with my mom and dad, Mary and Andy, last night. We were all together having a little pre-Thanksgiving with my folks. And they were just talking about how it's like, mom, dad, don't answer the phone. Don't go to the door. You know who we are. You'll see our name pop up. You don't need to talk to anybody else. Ain't nobody doing anything for you you need to be answering that phone for, or at least engaging in a conversation about.
Well, I think that's good advice, and I think the reality is that, you know, the statistics demonstrate that literally hundreds of millions of dollars are stolen every year from older adults, and nobody is doing it, you know, with a good intent.
So the list of 10 early signs of Alzheimer's and dementia. Number one, memory loss that disrupts daily life. I guess disrupts daily life is the operative part of that, because we all forget things.
Absolutely.
But if it keeps you from what? Being able to just do the basics in life, huh?
Yeah, I think the basics in life, you know, your routine, things of that nature. The second one, of course, is challenges in planning or solving problems. Did you forget where you put that favorite recipe? Did you forget to pay your monthly bills? Things of that nature. These are becoming, you know, more and more common. And, you know, in older adults, we're seeing it every day. If you see it in your family, you know, you might have a problem.
Difficulty number three, completing familiar tasks.
Yeah, organizing a grocery list, remembering the rules of your favorite game that you've played with the family every Thanksgiving. You know, that's an issue.
Confusion with time and place. You know, my mom and dad don't have a work routine. They don't have a family routine. They have a routine at the senior center that they live in. But there is a kind of loss of day, week, month for them. My dad particularly, I've mentioned many times on this show, I've described my dad as having early onset dementia, which I was told is the wrong way to describe it. I describe it that way because only recently has it become exacerbated, but that's different than early onset dementia. My dad has dementia, and he is confused about what day of the week it is all the time. I guess we've noticed that for a while. That would have been an early sign, right, Kerry?
Well, I think that standalone, probably no, but add it to other issues, and the answer is yes. But, you know, I think that we all forget the date You know, who doesn't forget the date? But if you forget the season, you know, you're in trouble.
Misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps. You know, the thing is, a lot of these things we all do. A lot of us don't know where that grocery list is. A lot of us misplace things or walk into a room and don't know why we were there. So it must be the combination of these things or the degree, huh?
Both, the combination and particularly the degree. You hit it right on the head, John. You know, is Dad able to tell you, you know, it's winter outside, I shouldn't go out without warm clothing?
No.
Okay, we frequently find Alzheimer's patients literally forget to shower and forget to put on warm clothes and things like that.
Misplacing things, losing the ability to retrace steps was 7. Decreased or poor judgment. Well, we're making a lot of decisions for my mom and dad now, my dad particularly. You know, we don't trust his judgment. He doesn't trust his judgment. He told us that.
That's a good thing. I mean,
yeah.
That's a good thing.
But that's something that you need to put in writing. This kind of gets to powers of attorney issues, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is, you know, we talked about this with you, John, many times. Your listeners have heard it. Plan, okay? Because when you plan and you have your wits about you and you have the cognitive ability to plan, then you can plan to put someone in charge when you're not able to do so. We're talking of right now about Alzheimer's disease, which generally is a slow progressive illness. What if you have a stroke? Okay, a stroke is an immediate onset of likely cognitive ability, perhaps physical disability, and you need to have someone in charge of making decisions for you when you're not able to make your own decisions. So we need to plan.
Speaking of the suddenness of events rather than the slow onset of these of dementia or Alzheimer's, I was thinking the other day, and I told you about this off the air. Suppose mom and dad pass away, and their estate passes on to their adult children. But what if the daughter passes away too? Does that estate pass to their son-in-law, to the daughter's husband? Because he would have logically been the beneficiary of the estate passing to his wife, their daughter. But the daughter has passed away. Is he included like any other sibling in an estate? He's an in-law. It's not the immediate heir, if you will, to the older adults. What happens? Does it make a left turn there, or does he not get anything?
Well, the answer is it depends on the daughter's estate plan. Okay, does the daughter have a will? Does that will provide for her husband and her children? Or does a daughter die without a will? And in the state of Illinois, we have what's called, fancy word, intestate succession, which in English means the husband, the son-in-law gets 50%, and their children get 50%. Now, is that what, your sister would want?
Right.
And what if the kids are minors? You know, then we have to open minors' estates and things of that nature.
But so while I think these conversations we've had with you sort of expect that the oldest among us should have a will and an estate plan, those 50-somethings should as well, just anticipating this very sort of scenario.
Well, the anticipation is they're going to inherit presumably from their parents. And yes, they should plan to provide for their family in whatever fashion they want.
You could exclude your husband or wife if you wanted to.
You could exclude your husband or your wife and add, once again, to the unknown circumstance of an auto accident, a stroke, right, things of that nature, immediate scenarios. So the answer is you're never too young to plan.
By the way, free consultation when people call you at your office, too, right?
Absolutely. People can come in. We can meet with them in our offices in Chicago, Oak Brook, Lake Forest, or Northbrook.
And what's the number one kind of question you get?
Well, we get a lot of different questions in family fight scenarios. Usually families are fighting over money. And they're fighting over dad or mom's money, and, you know, you took my money, and the will said XYZ. Or we've got a lot of cases in which mom or dad do wills shortly before they die. One of the kids takes mom to a lawyer and has the will redone, favoring her and cutting the other children out.
That seems so obvious. I mean, is that a valid will?
Well, it could be a valid will if mom has mental capacity and mom was not unduly influenced. Basically, there's two ways to challenge a will in a trust: undue influence and lack of mental capacity. So if mom is able to do it and you know, everybody involved believes mom did it of her own free will, she may not have, you know, but those are the kinds of scenarios that we deal with every single day in and out of the courtroom.
How often does it go to before a judge or a jury?
It goes before a judge in 95% of those cases.
Really? Yes. So but do you act as almost like one of those independent arbitrators where you try and say, listen, let's not go to court. Let's see if we can resolve this rather than have a protracted court case.
Well, we always try and save our clients the strain and then the money that these types of courtroom battles are going to have. But the reality is that most people want to go to court. They want their day in court. They want a judge to decide.
Right, and you're not an independent arbitrator. You are an advocate for whoever called you. You're representing you're probably representing the family member who is not in on the will or feels somehow cheated about access to mom and dad.
That's correct. Well, that's correct. But, you know, we're very strong advocates in the courtroom. We have a lot of success in the courtroom, and we know our way around the courtroom.
John, could you please have Carrie Peck explain a transfer on death deed? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, transfer on death is typically called a TODI, TODI. And what it means is that I do a deed and I leave it to you, John, but it's only effective upon my death. So the property, real estate, transfers on death.
So it's a real estate, a property deed.
Yes.
So that's different than a will or an estate plan where I'm leaving the real estate. Wouldn't I do that? Wouldn't that be in the will?
No. I could leave you the property in a will, but this avoids necessarily a probate proceeding and things of that nature.
Well, I've got a will and an estate plan, I think. I got to go back and check. But, I mean, do I have a transfer on death deed?
You probably don't. If you're asking a question, you probably don't.
Okay, so I need to make sure I ask that when I call an attorney like you. Say, well, let's make – but I don't own my property outright anyway. Does that matter? The bank owns it. I'm just paying off on a loan.
Well, you still have the right to pass it upon your death, subject, of course, to the payment on the mortgage.
The deed. I'm visiting my dad. He lives alone, has been almost scammed by Publishers Clearinghouse call last week. He donates to almost all of the letters he gets in the mail. How do I approach the topic of taking over his bank accounts completely?
Well, first of all, the question is Dad mentally competent to make his own decisions? Has Dad signed a power of attorney? If he's competent, you want to ask him to sign a power of attorney, giving you authority to take over his decisions. If he's not competent, then we need to talk about appointing a court-appointed guardian, which could be you.
Anybody doing this is being preyed upon. If they don't realize that, in my estimation, they're not mentally competent, Carrie.
Agreed. I think that certainly is evidence of their lack of capacity.
And if Dad doesn't want to cooperate, could I get a judge to force him to turn over the
give us a call. We'll file, if appropriate, a guardianship case asking a judge to appoint you as guardian for your father to make his financial and health care decisions.
John Williams, I called Carrie Peck's firm after my mom died. I was the executor, and I needed advice on the distribution. They were so helpful and knowledgeable. I guess you do that for folks all the time, huh?
We do it every day, every day, in you know, Northern Illinois and throughout the state.
Carrie, time's up.
All right, John, happy Thanksgiving again to you, your family, and your listeners. It's always a pleasure to be here, and we look forward to seeing you again next time.
Is that list that you gave me of the 10 things to watch for, the development of dementia and Alzheimer's, can our listeners find that? That should be on your website somehow, Mr. Peck.
Or well, that's the Alzheimer's a good idea, Association. But it's currently on the Alzheimer's Association.
Oh, here in Illinois.
In Illinois, and
that's good.
I'll have it put on my website as well.
Carrie is the outreach educator for the Illinois chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. You can see why. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you very much.